Psalm chapter 131, a song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem, a psalm of David. Lord, my heart is not proud. My eyes are not haughty. I don't concern myself with matters too great or too awesome for me to grasp. Instead, I have calmed and quieted myself, like a weaned child who no longer cries for its mother's milk. Yes, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, now and always.
Well, hey, everyone. My name is Leslie, and I'm one of the pastors here on staff. And it's so good to be with you today as we all gather online for services here. And, you know, I pray you're safe and that you're doing well. We just want you to know that we're here for you. And so if you have a need during this time, please make sure to reach out to one of our pastors, to your campus pastor, or to the church office. But again, we hope that you're safe and that you're doing well. A few weeks ago, Sean and the kids and I, we were in Virginia for a fun family vacation, and we enjoyed spending time with my sister and her family, as well as my parents. A few of those days, we decided to venture beyond just relaxing at the pool and head down to Busch Gardens. Now, riding roller coasters when I was in middle school compared to riding them now, it's a completely different experience. I definitely need to load up on some motion sickness medicine next time, because my head and stomach, they were just not prepared for those rides. The water park, however, that was definitely more my speed. That is, until we came to the Colossal Curl. The name alone should have caused me to take a pass, but I went on it because my five-year-old daughter was just so excited for it. So why shouldn't I? Well, the line was long, of course, because it was the most popular water slide there. And so we go and we reach the launching area of the platform at the top of the stairs. And since only four people are allowed at a time on a raft, I made sure that I was sitting right there beside Kate. I mean, I was there for her. Let me tell you, I'm not sure who was there for whom. I grab her hand and tell her, this is going to be so exciting. And the ride, it starts out slow, but then one steep dive after another. I was screaming more than my nephews and Kate combined. There were so many twists and turns that no one knew what was coming next the entire time. Kate was a champion, but there were moments of happiness and glee mixed with these moments of terror. And the way that my little five-year-old survived the ride was only because I was holding on to her the whole time. My eyes never left her face, so I could see when she was worried, when she was fearful, when she was joyful. I could speak words of comfort and assurance and words of praise and affirmation to her. She knew she was okay, even though it was uncomfortable and bumpy and unknown at times. She knew she was okay because she trusted me, and I was with her the entire time. You know, over the past week, many of us have seen and read and heard of events in our country and around the world that have caused much anxiety and worry. And now we're facing a hurricane here on Long Island on top of all of that. You know, we feel we may be on a ride that's full of a lot of unknowns. Maybe we are fearful of what is happening because we're not sure what's around the bend or how it's all going to be resolved. You know, life's like that. We have these times of glee and times of worry. We don't know the future, let alone what will happen in the next few hours. The only way in which you and I, the only way in which we can survive to the end, depends ultimately on who is beside us on this journey of life. You see, today we continue in our teaching series, the Psalms of Ascent, where we're taking a look at some of these songs that were sung by the Israelites as they made their way up to Jerusalem for the major festivals. Notice that no matter where you are geographically, you are always going up to Jerusalem, because that was the place of worship of God, the one who was far above all others. And so these songs of ascent, they were like a soundtrack for the travelers and a reminder that God saw them and that God was with them wherever they may go and whatever they may face along the way. Well, today we're going to look at Psalm 131, and I invite you to read along with me. The psalmist writes, "My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me, but I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore." You see, the words of this song are a reminder to the traveler that God is present in the journey and that God gives comfort to the weary heart. Charles Spurgeon, he wrote about this psalm, and he said, "It's one of the shortest psalms to read, but one of the longest to learn." You see, today I want us to take on this challenge based on this psalm. And here's the challenge: to trust God for the best and rest. Trust God for the best and rest. And so in these next few moments, I want us to discover together why we can just do that and how we can do it, how we can trust God for the best and rest. Well, first, we can rest in humility. In verse 1, we see that the psalmist, he describes that his rest was in humility and that he knew he didn't have all the answers to all of life's questions, and he was okay with that. We read, "My eyes are not haughty, my heart is not proud," meaning the psalmist was not a know-it-all, or even did he even pretend to be. He was not looking down on others, and he's comparing who was better or stronger or smarter or richer than everyone else. You know, we go on and read how the psalmist was not concerned with great matters or things too wonderful for me. Now, when I first read that, it made me think that the psalmist was belittling himself and not really anticipating good things to come in his life. That's not what's meant here. You see, the psalmist meant that instead of striving to understand things that are really outside of his comprehension, he trusted God. It's still true today. There are matters that simply just go beyond our human minds and our human power and our human capabilities. And the psalmist, he's reminded that he didn't need to be concerned. He didn't need to concern himself or worry about things like that. It really did him no good. It didn't really change his situation. In a recent Gallup poll, it highlights that Americans are some of the most stressed out and worried people in the world. Now, that may not come as a surprise to you, especially with all that's happening in our world and in our nation right now. But really, and we know this, worry does absolutely no good. Jesus knew that when he said, "Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" You see, worry really makes problems and situations worse because you can't solve them. Worry can't change the past. Worry can't change the future. All worry does is mess up today. But we can start to look around us and notice that God seems to be answering and blessing others in a way that he's not answering and blessing you. We start to compare our lives with the lives around us, and instead of being filled with thankfulness for what we have, we're full of envy. We think we deserve better, we deserve more, and so the sin of pride and envy start to take root. That's what the psalmist is reminding himself. He says to watch your heart. Watch your eyes. Watch where your heart and your eyes are focused in this life. You know, Sean and I enjoy watching the Olympics this year, and of course, the athletes are there to compete for the love of the game. But the glory of the Olympic Games, the glory is the medal. The medal is the dream, and it's the fantasy of winning an Olympic medal. That's what motivates these athletes to keep going, to keep dreaming. It's the fantasy of winning that Olympic medal that propels these athletes forward. But you see, not all medals are created equal. In a USA Today report, it's went after the happiness level of the gold, silver, and bronze medal winners. And no surprises there. The happiest were the gold medalists, of course. The next results, however, may just surprise you. You would assume that those who won silver were next on the happiness scale. They weren't. It was the bronze medalists who were happier than silver medalists. The ones who took home silver think, I came so close to winning gold. And the bronze medalists think, I almost didn't get a medal. I'm so grateful to be on this podium. You see, one reflects on what they have. The other reflects on what they don't have. Psychologists call this the silver medal syndrome, and it's not just for Olympians. I'm sure you've said things like this before. I know I have. It's not fair. Why them? Why me? Or why not me? You see, when you're envious of others, it's not a battle between them and you. It's a battle with God. You see, you're doubting God's goodness in your life, and you resent his decisions, and you are questioning his love. But listen, God has extended his unconditional love to you. And God's not like a vending machine that you put in a prayer and then you get out what you want. You see, God has a reason why you don't have what you want. He knows better than you know yourself. And instead of saying, that's not fair, start praying, God, I'm going to trust that you have a unique plan for my life, and that you know better than what I need right now. You see, when we start envying others, or we start worrying about what is happening or what's not happening, it's because we doubt God. What we need instead is to trust God for the best and rest. You see, for you and I, for us to have this complete rest in our souls today, despite all that's going on in our world around us, you see, we need to be humble. We need to realize that there are situations and occurrences in our life that are just simply out of our hands. Humility allows us to submit to God and accept that certain questions in life just may go unanswered. And we rest. We rest because there's full confidence that God knows the answers, that God is on the throne, that God is good, and that nothing can change that. Well, secondly, we see that we can rest in contentment. Here in verse 2, we see the result of resting in humility. There was a choice made to surrender and to trust God, and as a result, the psalmist was able, as we read here, to calm and quiet himself. But you see, the imagery that follows gives us a better idea as to how the psalmist got to that point of rest. We read in verse 2, like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child, I am content. Now, I'm not sure if you've ever tried to wean a baby, but there is a lot of noise and pain and discomfort for all involved, but especially the baby and the mom. A baby that's nursing is a noisy child and has learned that eventually all that noise will lead to satisfaction of all that he desires. And if it doesn't come fast enough, he's going to make everyone around him miserable until that need is met. So you see, when we read that the psalmist is quiet and calm, know that it was not automatic and probably not willingly. You see, weaning is not a popular process, at least not for the baby being weaned. My guess is that to get to the rest described here in verse 2, there were some hard nights. There were some difficult days. There were painful circumstances and questions. There were feelings of abandonment and rejection. You see, a baby rarely volunteers for this weaning process. Weaning means learning to live in stillness, learning to live with unfulfilled desires. But you see, those are marks of maturity. As a mom of two, I know firsthand of the struggle that exists to get an infant who loves the special attention and security of mom, giving him what he needs to satisfy his hunger, now have to move on to this more active and independent way of eating. I can remember putting my son to bed and rocking and feeding him. But when it came time to move him to eating more foods on his own and finding nutrients in other places than just what I could provide for him as his mom, he was just confused. He just wanted milk and more milk. He didn't really understand why I wanted him to drink from this sippy cup or eat these little tiny bits of food. Instead, he just wanted more of what he knew. You see, he had come to trust milk to give him what he needed and couldn't imagine being satisfied with anything else. He couldn't fathom a better way. You see, a weaned child has learned that mom is more than just there for instant gratification. A weaned child is capable of stillness. A weaned child can have a whole new form of communication with mom. A weaned child has entered into a whole new relationship with mom, and mom is more than simply the one who exists to satisfy a need and take away his hunger. The mom is more than just the one to give the baby what he wants, when he wants, and how he wants. You see, we each need to go through a spiritual weaning process so that we're not like that baby crying out for desires to be met and demanding that we get it now. You see, we need to come to a place of trust that God's more than just here to meet my needs and give me what I want, when I want, how I want. You know, many times in order for us to reach the maturity we need, God has to wean us away from good things in order to give us better things. And it's a painful process. There are struggles in growing up and maturing in faith and trusting God. And as I think through the Bible, think through the stories of the Bible, how Abraham had to leave his family and city, send Ishmael away and separate from Lot, put Isaac on the altar. I think of Joseph, who had to be separated from his father and brothers to come to see his dreams come true. Peter, he had to leave the familiarity of his fishing job. And Paul gave up prestige for prison. You see, we need to be weaned many times in our life, to be brought from an area of comfort and familiarity to another level of trust. And perhaps the only way in which that can happen is through an unwanted weaning process. It's through that struggle, through the unknown. When God weans you from the comfortable and the known to a deeper level of trust in him, don't worry. Trust God for the best and rest. Well, lastly, we can rest in hope. Here in verse 3, the psalmist, he has placed his trust in the Lord, and here he's calling out for the whole nation to do so as well. The psalmist gave testimony to what God had done for him personally, and he's confident that God will do it again for others who also place their trust in him. The psalmist called on Israel to trust in God both now and forevermore. As the Israelites traveled towards Jerusalem, this song was a reminder to them that they were, many times in the past, when they did not know what the future held for them as a people or as a nation. And so I'm sure as there were days as they reflected on the journey when they could not see an end, maybe to their captivity, or they couldn't see an answer to their prayers for deliverance. There were many mountains and valleys to endure. I'm not sure what the nation was facing at this time as they sung this song of ascent, but they were reminding themselves to trust in God now with today's issues and problems and concerns. They were reminding themselves that they may be in waiting again for answers from God, but that wasn't to throw them off. The waiting in the now and the waiting in the however long was to be with hope. They could trust God, who had been faithful in the past, who was faithful today, and who will be faithful tomorrow. They could rest in hope because God is good and God loves them. You see, when we're in the midst of life, we can easily get consumed with the now. We forget of God's faithfulness of the past and how he has given us the best. And we easily forget. And then we face the now. When we face the questions and the uncertainties that are in our life right now, we get overwhelmed and think that this is how it's always going to be. We forget. You see, our souls need to rest in hope that the same God who has been with us in the past is the same God who is with us in the now, who walks beside us, who carries us, who guides us now. Those words here at the end of verse 3, now and forevermore, mean right now and for the long haul. Trusting God in the right now, it's probably a little bit more doable than for the long haul. However, we think back to earlier in the song. We have a tendency to worry and to fill our minds and hearts with anxious thoughts, not ones of trust and dependency on God. I'm reminded of the words of Jesus, to not worry about tomorrow because each day has enough trouble of its own. You see, don't borrow tomorrow's issues for today. Give them to God today. There's no need to hold on to them on your own. Now, some situations and issues are not just for the now, though, meaning they're here for the long haul. You may want an answer to your questions, to your prayers right now, but that's not the case. You may need to have that job a little bit longer. You might need to follow that budget. You might need to accept and live with the diagnosis, or you might need to pray for your child a little bit longer than you anticipated. You're in it for the long haul, and honestly, you don't know why. Why can't God answer or deliver me right now? This may be a season of waiting for you, but listen, no matter how long you have to wait, whether it's for a short time or for the long haul, our posture must be of trust, because we know God has the best for us and we can rest. Back in 2011, I had the opportunity to run in the New York City Marathon, and the first half of that race, it's a party. I mean, you're swept up along with 50,000 runners in crowds that are lining the streets, and people are running in costumes, and you're touring the ethnic neighborhoods of Brooklyn and Queens, and you feel like you could run forever. But then at mile 13, you cross over into Manhattan and you start heading north away from the finish line. Central Park is behind you and you feel like you're going in the wrong direction. The crowds are so much smaller now. The party's over. Well, at about mile 16, 18, you hit the wall. You're absolutely miserable. Physically, psychologically, you're just broken. All you want to do is stop running. It feels as if an elephant has jumped out of the tree and is onto your shoulders and makes you carry it the rest of the race. Your body has burned out of energy and is so tired, it just can't go forward. Spiritually speaking, sometimes we hit the wall. We feel like an elephant is on our back and we have this, I just can't do it. Spiritual fatigue. We want to throw in the towel and give up on God and take matters back into our own hands or fill our minds with worry. But you see, resting and waiting and trusting God brings a payoff in the end because we're invited into a life that's filled with hope and peace and freedom because of Him. And we can joyfully anticipate all that the Lord will do in the future. We don't have to worry and fear our current circumstances and situations, but that we can view today as a launch for new opportunities as we surrender and we trust God. So what do you do when you're waiting on God, whether it's in the short time or for the long haul? We can be weakened and worried sick and crippled by our circumstances, or we can be confident in God's promises, that even though you cannot see it or understand it, you hope in God. Now, this may be a daily commitment to not worry, to not fear, but to trust. And that despite what's happening around you, there's this expectation that God is true to His word, and remain confident in Him, that even if the timing seems longer than expected, that you're going to trust God for the best and rest. Well, last week, as I was flying down the water slide, I was full of all kinds of emotions. I had no idea what was around each bend, and my daughter was even more unsure than me. Now, I'm not sure what's happening in your life right now. You know, many of us are facing circumstances and situations that are just confusing. And you may feel as if your life has more twists and turns and ups and downs than the colossal curl. You don't know how and why this is happening in your life. The truth is, there are some awful and heartbreaking events in our lives. Even in the midst of all that's happening in our world and in our personal lives, you see, we can be at rest. We can rest in humility, knowing that God is God and that we don't have to know all the answers. We don't need to know it all or have it all, but we trust Him for the best. You see, we can rest in contentment with a quiet strength and calm confidence, not because everything is going right in our life, but because God is moving us into maturity that comes through the struggle, to leave an infant life like dependency on Him, of thinking God is only here to give us what we want, and moving on to this childlike trust that's content even if we don't have it all, because we trust Him for the best. You see, we can rest in hope because we know that God is with us now, and He's with us in the long haul. We trust God is at work, and He will not leave us or abandon us. He is with us every step of the way, and we are hopeful in His promises. We're hopeful in His power. We're hopeful in His goodness. So don't give up in this season you're in right now. Trust God today. Now go rest.